Item number six, reports by water board members. Mr. Harris?
I guess I'm lost. I'm still foggy.
Okay. That's our own.
Right, that's yours. Right, that's why I was waiting for the board members to, they had.
Okay.
One, two.
Okay.
They had a board.
Anyone? Mr. Jordan?
Well, although it means nothing to you, I'd certainly like to say welcome to Santa Barbara to the rest of the board and the staff. And as the board members know and as staff knows, there are some welcome bags here graciously provided by the Conference and Visitors Bureau. And I'd like to say happy holidays. And over the past year, it's been a pleasure to work with you guys. And we'd hope to see you down at Santa Barbara more often.
Well, thank the Visitor Bureau for the gifts.
Thank you.
Okay, any reports? Dr. Hunter?
I have one report.
Okay.
But before I make my report, I would like to make a brief statement. Some of you know that I recently was reappointed to the board for a new term. And so I just wanted to say that having completed 8 years on the board, and looking at another 4 years, the opportunity to continue to work with my colleagues, who I respect greatly and admire for the expertise and their commitment to the work that we do on the Central Coast to protect water quality. I want to acknowledge also that this work has been a real labor of love and passion that I share with many of you, many of our stakeholders who come to the meetings to help us, keep us informed of the local perspective and local impacts, and those are very important to us. And I can't say enough about how important it is to see the public participating in our hearings and in contributing to the information that we have to apply to the decisions we make. They're very challenging and very difficult and very complicated. And to that end, you know, I recommit myself to being as prepared as I can and to learning about these issues, continue to learn about these issues as I have in the past, and I hope that my work reflects that effort. I also want to make just one more comment about the special role of the Central Coast and other coastal regional boards, because we, along with the Coastal Commission, are one of two agencies that have any authority over discharge to marine waters and to marine environments and protection of marine environments. And I take that to be one of the highest issues that we have to deal with. We're looking at coastal desalination, coastal water desalination. We're looking at wave energy generation. We're looking at farm fisheries. All of these are in our future for California. All of these are economically important and vital to our sustainable industries, but they also carry with them some enormous challenges. And so I hope to have the opportunity to work on those challenges and to contribute to policy and regulation that will assure that we have sustainable development of these industries. And finally, thank you to the governor for reappointing me and for allowing me to continue to work on this very important board and panel. And so now I will shift to my report. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me that opportunity. I recently became involved with the governor's Safe Drinking Water Stakeholder Group. As a member of the board, I have been involved with a very compressed effort, which occurred over about 8 to 9 weeks, in which we identified, we were charged with the mission of identifying clean, safe, sustainable water sources for all Californians. And the work initially started in the effort of looking at water systems and funding for water systems, so upgrading infrastructure or building new water systems for rural areas where drinking water coming from wells has potentially numbers of problems that are associated with contamination for various reasons. Some of them are associated with agriculture, and some of them are just more widespread. However, I just wanted to share there was a number of things that came out of that process, and that group has reconvened itself, so it will continue, and that's very good news because we have identified, especially for the Salinas Valley, which is in our region, the opportunity to create more support, more technical assistance, greater production of greater scientific analysis of where our primary problems exist relative to drinking water wells and small systems that serve 15 or fewer connections, which seem to be kind of in a gap in the regulatory system between state public health and county public health agencies that have oversight over drinking water, safety of drinking water. We have certain authority that we can contribute to this effort, and so I am very happy to continue my work in that committee. One thing that occurred recently, and an idea that our drinking water, our group has targeted as a high priority, is the idea of developing a streamlined process for these small rural communities to apply to a single agency or entity where they would then be directed for technical assistance, for grant potential, for all of the different elements that are very, very complicated and difficult for very, very small, sometimes unincorporated areas. So we have a model that has now been established in the state of Nevada, and it was very encouraging to our group. They distributed a news release on that and tells us that A, we're on the right track, and B, we can look to the structure of this particular streamlined process as a way to advance some of the work we're doing, and hopefully in a rapid fashion, because these are urgent issues. And so I will continue to report on the progress of this committee, and I'll end there.
Okay, thank you. Question for you, Dr. Hunter. If other of our board members would like to get involved in any other subgroups that are being, you know, formed with this drinking water group, what do we need to do?
Well, I think that is a question possibly for Jessica, but I think the more that we can participate, and as I'm considered, I clarified this just before coming to the meeting so that we could talk about this. I'm considered an agency participant. Therefore, I'm not a member of any committee. But I do participate in the conference calls, and I do receive all of the materials and comment on those materials. And as long as it's possible for more than one regional board member, and especially given the fact that the Salinas Valley is one of two areas that will be a high priority for the work that we're doing. So I think it would be very helpful to have someone.
Well, Mr. Johnston has expressed an interest to me, and given the great breadth of groups and subgroups that are being formed, and I know you're involved with one aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of room. I'm supportive of any of our board members that want to get involved. And Jessica, do you see any issues related to that if anybody has more than one rep?
No, as there cannot be a quorum, obviously.
Right.
But two should not be a quorum.
So, Mr. Johnston, do you want to, who is the head of the, there's co-chairs.
Yes, there are co-chairs, and I'm not clear right now that those co-chairs are going to continue.
Okay.
I know the EPA rep just dropped off as she's actually coming on board to the state water board. So there's some changes in the leadership,
okay.
So I don't know yet.
So let's do this. Maybe Mr. Harris, you could take the ball with this, and Mr. Johnston would like to serve on some of the committees or subcommittees that are being formed, and I would like him to do so. So he can also participate and report on other events
okay.
as they develop.
Got it.
Okay. thank you, Dr. Hunter, and I neglected to publicly congratulate you, but I have privately done so. And for those members of the public, both Russ Jeffries and Dr. Hunter were reappointed. I didn't think that they were not going to be reappointed, but they had some doubts about that. And for those of you that don't know, the legislature has changed the makeup of our boards. We no longer have dedicated seats. All the seats, except, is there one public?
Yeah.
One public seat, and the rest of us are non-designated seats.
Now there are six seats for people that are interested in water quality, and then one seat for a member of the public that does not have that requirement.
And we have then a reduction in nine seats down to seven. So that's a big change that we have. Okay, thank you. Dr. Wolf.
Quick little updates, one of them relating to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I'm on the Executive Advisory Board of the College of Ag, Food, and Environmental Science. And at our recent meeting last month, we have strongly suggested to the dean to include in all of the curriculum of the ag programs a class on introduction to regulations associated with agriculture, because we felt it was important for the next generation of farmers to be comfortable at the very beginning in how to interact with agencies and understand the aspects of regulated compliance. So as part of our curriculum, we're planning on inviting representatives of various regulatory agencies to come to the classes as visiting guests to give presentation, and we think that's a good step to get our next generation of farmers to be a little more comfortable in how to deal with regulations in the state of California. The second little update is on the advisory council for the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement. And we had a recasting of our vision, our long-term strategic plan. And one of the items that we have now included is climate change. And the thought is that with climate change, it's going to have significant impact in in-stream flows in the state of California. And it's going to have an impact on fish habitats and our aquatic habitats. So that's some new item that has been embedded now in the long-term vision of the organization. And my understanding is that other groups are following suit too, because we've seen in recent years certainly the impact of some significant changes taking place. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Johnston.
In October 25th, I attended a conference at CSUMB sponsored by their business school, at which our chair, Jeff Young, spoke on regulation versus the free market, using the Ag Rover as the focal point. And I think people who have been certainly people on the board and people in the audience who have followed the Ag Rover probably have heard much of Jeff's presentation, because he was basically laying out sort of a history of what we're doing on it. The thing that I took away from it that was most interesting, and it was new to me, was Dr. Is it Thomas Harder, the water scientist from UC Davis, who headed the team that did the recent report for the state Senate on nitrate pollution of groundwater in the Tulare Lake Basin and the Salinas River Valley, spoke. And I want to see if I can get the PowerPoint from his presentation to staff and maybe have them distributed to the board. I think it was interesting. And my takeaway from it, I'm still really trying to get my head around this stuff as a new member of the water board and as someone who doesn't have a long history on water issues. But the thing that he said that really struck me the most conceptually was that he sort of did a little history of the Clean Water Act and that it essentially started out focusing on point source pollution, on pollution coming into surface waters from sewage outfalls, industrial plants, et cetera, and that we developed through the 80s and the 90s a whole set of tools, both technical, scientific, and regulatory, for dealing with point source pollution, and that he sees the challenges now of non-point source pollution, like nitrate and groundwater, as requiring a whole different set of tools, both regulatory and scientific and technical, and says that he feels it's a real, that a lot of both regulators like us and water scientists like him are still struggling with how to move out of the paradigm of the tools we developed for dealing with point source pollution to deal with non-point source pollution. And it was a really helpful set of concepts for me. I'm still trying to understand the ramifications of it, but it was a really interesting takeaway. So I'm going to see if I can get that PowerPoint and get it circulated.
Dr. Barbeau just sent me the links to the videos of each of our presentations. So I forwarded that to Mr. Harris, and so he can distribute those links, and we can certainly get the material from him. If you just shoot him an email, I'm sure he'll get it for us. So,
questions?
Yes. I would recommend the video of Harder's presentation. I was a little, frankly, disappointed with Dr. Barbeau's presentation because it seemed to rely on all the data that he developed on a very early version of the Ag Waiver and did not seem to have been modified in any way subsequently. So he was speaking to a different reality than the present one in which we exist, it looked like to me.
Dr. Hunter?
And so in making the link available to the board members, does that also open it up so that any member of the public can access the presentations?
Well, we could go ahead and just put it on our website, right? You know, put a link to the symposium.
It would be good to get permission from them to publish it on our website before we make it available to the general public, but assuming they provide permission, we can put it on the Ag Waiver page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and ask for permission?
It's also possible that they have posted it on a public website, which we would then just link to that.
Correct.
Which that's what those links go to.
Probably.
To their website.
Yeah, okay. We just need to make it clear that all of that is not part of the actual public record. That's just additional information for members of the public.
Okay,
got it.
All right. And congratulations to Mr. Delgado for being reelected as the mayor of Marina. And now that we don't have designated seats, our concerns about what would happen if you didn't win re-election become moot, but I'm glad to have you back on for another 4 years. Well, 4 years.
It's every 2 years as mayor.
Yeah.
Every
2 years?
Yeah, council's four, mayor's two.
Yeah. Okay, any reports?
Yeah, is this on? I can't tell.
I don't think that's working.
Okay, so right now it's on?
Yes.
Okay. I know that organizations like this are successful. Their success depends mostly on whether the people working in the organization, the staff, their abilities and their work effort, their output. And I just wanted to say that I'm very impressed. I see a lot of agenda packets and a lot of staff reports. And this board's staff reports are of high quality and thoroughness, and they're so well written that they are very concise, but they contain a lot of information, so sometimes they're long, but they're just wonderfully written by very talented, skilled staff. And I just want to appreciate the quality of the staff work that I see in this, in, you know, for our board. It's fantastic. So thank you to everybody. And a great example is item 13, which is water management efforts in our region, which apparently had input from various staff. But that's just a good example of what I'm talking about as being an excellent report for me as a board member. So thank you to that. And I also wanted to thank our Chair Young for going to Cal State Monterey Bay to participate in that October conference. You know, that's a long way to go with all the things he has going on. So thank you very much for taking the time to do that. And I'm glad that it was videotaped so we can all see it. And I was thankful to hear Board Member Johnson's, Commissioner, what are we?
We're board members.
Board Member Johnson's, thank you. Board Member Johnson's.
Come around here more often.
Yeah. His summary of what he's, of going to that conference helped me. You know, I learned from what you said. And similarly, if we could get some kind of summary like that of those of us, not including Mike because I didn't go yesterday, for yesterday's field trip, and then those of us that go on the field trip later this month, if we could do the same, you know, provide some feedback to the rest of the board that doesn't go, what we saw, because I wanted to go on, but we couldn't have more than a quorum yesterday. So I'm just interested to see how this area's farm practices are being presented to the board and compared to where we're going to go on the 14th, which up in Salinas area. There's probably some differences, and so I think we can all learn from understanding those.
Jessica.
Yeah, you couldn't have a quorum yesterday because it was not a meeting, and so if you then start distributing information about it and talking back and forth, you've basically created a serial meeting. So it is something that you could do in a future meeting, perhaps after all the board members have had their field trips. It could be just an informational item, and then people could discuss it freely, and so we don't have any serial meeting or any problems.
Now, are we allowed to discuss it during this agenda item?
During the board member reports?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay. So I was going to briefly just, you know, let the other board members know what we did yesterday. And before I do that, let me just address the October 25th conference that I was invited to by Mr. Delgado. And it was quite interesting. I don't think a summary is going to be really something we can put together. You guys should really look at the videos because it's packed with, too much information. And just so you know, these are all familiar faces to us. Dr. Los Huertos presented his portion on the science end of agricultural discharges and monitoring and studies and things of that nature, what he felt, what could and couldn't be done with monitoring. Dr. Barbeau, who you recall did speak to us during the order itself when we went to vote on it, he gave the economic perspective on ag, really its importance, you know, to the region as a generator of all kinds of economic benefits. And then, of course, Dr. Harder, who basically went over his whole report, and it was very much like the report that we were presented when he came before our board. But, you know, it's packed with information, so, you know, every time I've listened to him, I kind of pick up a few other subtleties that maybe I didn't pick up the first time around. And then with the questions from the audience, and by the way, there was, what, 100 people there, if not more?
A couple hundred
people there. Quite a few students from the business school, and then probably an equal amount of people from the community. And the president of the university gave the opening remarks, and then it went down from there until we got to give our talk. And then, let's see, after those three, and then I spoke last, and basically gave, you know, the history of the our regulation of ag, and staff helped me with a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation. So kind of went back to the beginning when we really didn't regulate ag at all. It was just there as an entity that we just kind of
were aware of but did nothing about. And then, you know, the talk went from there all the way through the changes to the waivers that we had in place years ago, the update of that waiver law, and then went into the first waiver that we issued back in 2004, I think, 2004. And then, you know, with where we're at today. And had a lot of good discussion. Darlene Din was there, who you all know, and Gail Delahunt was there from Grower Shippers. Mr. Shemek, were you there also?
Oh, no, I will never be invited to that conference.
Well, it was a public meeting.
I was not there.
Okay. All right. Anyway, it was worth doing on many fronts. So the videos, I think, will be worthwhile to look at. Separately, what we did yesterday is Mr. Jordan, myself, and Dr. Wolf, and Mr. Harris did a field trip. First, we had a meeting, a lunch meeting with some folks from the ag community, about four or five of them, a couple people from Grower Shipper. Gail Delahunt was one of them, and then who was the other representative from Grower Shipper? Hank was his first name, and I forget. Yeah. He's not even on this list, but yeah. Galakis? Must be Greek or something like that. But what we met in Orcutt, and we also had present Sandy Schubert, who was the Deputy Secretary for Food and Ag. Yes. Sandy Schubert, who's the Deputy Secretary for Food and Ag. And we had Gordon Burns, who is the Deputy Secretary for Cal EPA, our mother agency that sits over all the water boards. And it was an opportunity for members of the ag community to kind of exchange their thoughts with some members of the board on the ag order and issues that they wanted to express. And I took pretty detailed notes of those items that we're going to want to follow up with. That these are things that are of importance to these ag folks. I intend to collect them when we have our December 14th field trip, collect more notes on issues and items important to them. And then, and I want to get feedback from the other board members that were there so that my list is kind of complete, and that we proceed after our field trips are done with making the list available for discussion. So we want to get, you know, staff involved and the public involved in some of these items and see if there are areas where there's any need to do any refining of the ag order and how we might accomplish that, if there is. And, you know, to kind of make sure that we have a dialogue with ag, you know, at the board level. So we do have an agenda that I've got from them. I don't know if you saw this, Michael. Okay. So we can make that available at some point. Anyway, I will tell you that the ag folks that were there were very happy that the board has, you know, opened up some lines of communication directly with them. You know, for whatever reasons, they feel that they haven't had a, you know, complete access to getting their concerns to the board itself. And you know, we did a lot of listening, asking you questions, and told them that we would, you know, bring this back for discussion and to see what we could do with things. So I think it was very helpful. And we did do a field trip. Betteravia Farms took us to a couple of their sites, and if I'm not mistaken, do they farm about 3,000 acres, Ken?
Well, they have 7,000 acres spread over 27 farms, I think is what it was.
Yeah. Some land, 7,000 acres. That some land they own, some land they lease, some land they sublease. They do a lot of broccoli, cauliflower, and we didn't see any leafy greens, but I think that they, do they do some of that?
They grow just about everything, about everything. Their rotation including beans?
Beans, yeah, some beans. So it was really interesting to see, really to see where the technology has also come with farming today. It certainly is not the way it was, you know, even 10 years ago, with their ability to use laser leveling and do use soil science. Bet Arabia happens to have a very large lab where they're able to test their soil and plant material and know exactly what's going on, especially their water. And they have a lot of data that shows what's in their water. So that's really an extreme example of what we saw. You know, there's going to be a lot of farms that don't have those resources, and they're much smaller. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of hoping with the field trips that we maybe get a field trip where we have some smaller farms. And for those of you that may not know the genesis of why we're doing this, let me just back up so that the public also knows. I went to Sacramento a couple of months ago to meet with Sandy Schubert and Gordon Burns and the governor's, one of the governor's appointment secretaries, Nettie Sablehouse, and also Cliff Reichshoffen was there. And the reason was to talk about ag and the ag order. I wanted to make sure that they were aware of what we have been doing from our perspective, and to just have kind of a round table discussion of these things. So one thing that arose out of that, and this was Sandy Schubert's idea that everyone endorsed, was let's, you know, try to do something to open up the lines of communication directly with the board itself, because ag is would like that to happen. And they felt for reasons that would help with the implementation of the order and instilling, you know, confidence in what the agency is doing, that that would be a good idea. So I said yes, that we will do that, and that is was the genesis for this. So this was the first field trip. So the public's going to know eventually, you know, all the stuff that, you know, we've gleaned from the field trips. When we probably bring this back as, you know, maybe an agenda item with a status report, and then a discussion for what we do with the information. So, any questions, Mr. Delgado?
Yes, a very brief question. During the ag waiver proceedings, we tried to be as open to input to various constituencies, whether they be environmental justice or ag or environmental, you know, biological oriented environmental. And I think these field trips are just the best they can be to help us learn on the ground what's going on, to be better policy makers. And in the vein of being fair to constituencies, it'd be great, just as good, to have field trips in the long run that visit sites that have environmental justice or environmental issues as seen by constituents who are advocates in those realms. Because I think all of these field trips will be eye-openers for us, and it would be great to get a broad spectrum of field trips. Like you mentioned, small farms, large farms, And I was impressed by the input from the different constituents during the ag waiver hearings and wished that I could be on the ground at locations that they were using as examples to support their points.
Dr. Hunter, sure.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And one location that I would really appreciate having the opportunity to go to, the community of San Gerardo, where, to me, this is an example in our region where issues specifically related to contaminated drinking water wells was addressed. It was a very challenging and difficult process. And I think being able to go there and meet with some of the leadership there that worked with the county, they have a new well now. But I understand that, you know, in the long run, they expect that well even may be subject to the same type of contamination just simply because of the condition in the groundwater basin. So I think following up on Mr. Delgado's idea, we have some areas that we could put on the list for this in the long run.
So let's do this, Dr. Hunter. Let's have Mr. Harris contact Sandy Schubert. And since Sandy is really kind of organizing, you know, where the field trips might be, that he can see if that can't be worked out. So that would be helpful.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would suggest also contacting VRCDs, because VRCDs have assisted growers on various projects, including riparian corridor or steelhead habitat enhancement. And some of these projects were indirectly funded through our agency, so I think it would be good to, you know, kind of see the results of the of the efforts and the grants provided by the regional board and see what's happening.
I think that's an excellent idea, because, you know, certainly one of the things I took away from yesterday's field trip was how close these riparian, or what probably were riparian corridors at some point in time, back in time, go right through ag areas. And, you know, I mean, we see this up in the Watsonville area, where we've got, you know, the tile drains and strawberry growing. That is obvious to see, but, you know, that the proximity is really in many areas throughout the region where we've got this going on. And I would like to see what can be done, you know, to restore riparian corridors, and RCD would be great. You know, I mean, you could talk to Sandy about it, and maybe it's something that we have to do ourselves, because for whatever reason.
That was actually a question I had for you, just to clarify, is that if other groups or agencies are not interested, does the board want us to pursue it on our own? So set it up for you.
Yeah, I would say so. But I would like, first of all, Sandy Schubert and Gordon Burns really need to be included in this. These are the deputy secretaries for these two agencies, and those two agencies are very involved in what we're doing. And so, you know, I think part of the challenge that we've had with the ag order is that there's been a lot of information that goes out, comes back to us in different forms. Some of it we don't really recognize in terms of content, kind of gets altered a little bit. There's different perceptions of what we have done and continue to do. I really want them included in what we do. So
we will.
Yeah, if Sandy's not able to organize those, then we can do it ourselves, but include her in that, and Gordon. So, okay, anything else? All right, let's move on to our next agenda item.